The Bible is a book by God and about God and the relationship He wants to have with you. Spotlight on the Word is a special study of the Word of God, introducing its most prominent person, Jesus, as well as the basic message of the Word of God, the salvation of man to the glory of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. When we look at the New Testament, it is the second big part of the Bible. It consists of some 27 books. And we can examine what Jesus and others said about the nature of the New Testament, and it should inform how we view the New Testament itself. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "The word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day." Peter, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, indicated that the word of the Lord lives and abides forever. Oh, what a high view of Scripture Jesus and the apostles have had. As we think about the teaching of the New Testament, how we need to realize that when we look at the New Testament, we are considering the very Word of God. And three passages help us in this matter. The first one I'd like for you to think about is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Word of God comes from God Himself. That's what that passage indicates, and is profitable. Profitable for what? For knowing what is right, for doctrine, for knowing what's not right, for reproof and correction, for instruction that's in righteousness, how to get right and how to stay right with God. That's what the Bible is all about. That's what the New Testament is for. So that the man of God might be complete and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "Men of God spoke as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit." So when the Word of God is properly studied and properly interpreted, we can be assured that the message that we are getting is the very message of God Himself. Now, the 27 books that make up the pages of the New Testament can fall under different categories, can be divided as follows. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the gospel accounts. They tell us about the life of Jesus our Lord. The gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The next book, the book of Acts, is a book of history that emphasizes the church of Jesus and conversion to Christ, how one becomes a Christian. And as we look at the pages of the New Testament, after the gospel accounts and after the book of Acts, there are to be found 21 letters, 21 epistles, as they're often called, letters to various churches, letters to particular individuals that emphasize, that stress how to live the Christian life, from Romans through the book of Jude. And finally, we come to the book of Revelation, a book of victory, a book of hope, blessed assurance the people of God have. We have victory in Jesus. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. So as we consider these 27 books, it's important to see how they are distinct from one another, and yet how they complement, and profoundly so, how they complement each other. Let's consider this again. we have the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are basically biography. They tell us about the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then there's the book of Acts. The book of Acts emphasizes Christ, the risen Christ, the reigning Christ. It emphasizes the church of Christ, and it emphasizes conversion to Christ. That's the book of Acts. If you want to know how to become a Christian, the book of Acts is a great book to which to turn. Then you have Romans and the letters of Paul, beginning some 13 or 14 books. When we look at the first four, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, these books emphasize the cross of Christ. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, they powerfully emphasize the cross of Christ. As a matter of fact, many of the great passages in Paul's letters concerning the cross of Jesus are going to be found in Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, or Galatians. Then the next three books, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. These books especially emphasize the church of Christ. The church of Christ. How that Jesus is the head of the church, the Savior of the church, His body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. As we keep looking at these letters of Paul, the next two volumes, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, emphasize the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians, the cross of Christ. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, the church of Christ. And then 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the coming of Christ. And that leaves us with four letters of Paul. These are 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. And these particular books deal with the conduct of those who belong to Christ. The conduct of those who belong to Christ. And then we enter a portion of the New Testament that's often called the general epistles, the general letters. There's Hebrews and James. Hebrews and James deal with faith and works. Faith and works, those are really good concepts to keep in mind when you initially consider the books of Hebrews and James. Faith and works. Then there is 1 and 2 Peter. 1 and 2 Peter. Great concepts stressed in these two books are hope and knowledge. Hope and knowledge. That's 1 and 2 Peter. Then we deal with 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Jude. They deal with love and contending for the truth. That brings us to the last book of the New Testament, the 27th book of the 27 that make up the pages of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. Three words well summarize what the book of Revelation is all about in its 22 chapters. Here they are. Come, overcome, coming one. Come. The book of Revelation is a marvelous invitation to people throughout the world to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus, you will overcome. It's a key expression in the book of Revelation, to overcome Satan, sin, and self. We can do this through Jesus, and we can come over to heaven. Jesus is the coming one. He is coming back the second time, apart from sin, unto salvation. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. What I'd like to do at this particular point is to show you Jesus in each of the books of the New Testament. To give something of the emphasis, the thrust of each of these books in the New Testament, and especially what they tell us concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, because we need to see Jesus. We need to accept Scripture not merely as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the very word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. So let's go right back to the beginning of the New Testament. The book of Matthew. Matthew emphasizes Jesus as King, Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as the promised one from the Old Testament, the one who would come and save people from their sins. In Matthew 1, 21 through 25, Jesus is described as Emmanuel, God with us. He is described as a Savior who will save His people from their sins. And in Matthew 28, the last chapter of the book of Matthew, He is the one who has all authority. He is the King. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. And a particular word that's repeatedly stressed in this book is the word fulfilled. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Old Testament points to Him. Consider also the book of Mark. In Mark, you have in Mark 10:45 a key statement. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Mark especially emphasizes the concept of discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus. Following the will of God would eventually lead Jesus to the cross. And Mark teaches us that truth so magnificently. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He would pay the price for our sins. The word immediately or straightway occurs some 35 times in this 16-chapter book. Mark has a story to tell us, and he wants to emphasize the greatness and the beauty of Jesus, the servant of God. Then we come to the book of Luke. Luke stresses the Lord's perfect humanity, His perfect humanity, and he is fond of using the expression Son of Man. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke, in its 24 chapters, emphasizes the love and the compassion of Jesus, how He relates to people, how He cares, His perfect humanity. And then we get to the book of John. John emphasizes the deity of Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the King in Matthew, the servant of the Lord in Mark. He is the Son of Man in Luke, and we get to the Gospel of John. He is the Son of God. There's a purpose statement for this particular Gospel account, John, found in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing have life in His name. Yes, this is a book that emphasizes that Jesus is completely, fully, perfectly God. Whatever makes God, God, Jesus has it, and He has it perfectly, and He is worthy of our belief. We can put our faith in Him. Then we come to the book of Acts. Acts, again, stresses Jesus. It is a book that emphasizes Christ, the church, and conversion. For example, Acts 2:36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. In Acts 3 and verse 15, Jesus is referred to as the author of life. In Acts 4 and verse 12, we are reminded that there is salvation in none other, that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts stresses the distinctive nature of Jesus. He is not one of many options concerning salvation. He is, dear friend, the one and only option. We come to the book of Romans, and Romans emphasizes how men are made right with God. That's what Romans and its 16 chapters are all about, how men are made right with God. Jesus is our justifier. He is the one who makes us right. Romans 3, 24 through 27. But not only that, Jesus is our reconciler. He reconciles us through His blood. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. He makes us right with God. He reconciles us when we were separated, estranged from God because of our sin, having no hope. Jesus is the one who makes men right. He is the one who brings us back to God. Then we come to the book of 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians emphasizes, it stresses in such a great way, Jesus and His crucifixion and His resurrection. For example, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and Him crucified. If Christ is not raised from the dead, if He is not risen, our faith is futile. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. Paul deals in the book of 1 Corinthians with a number of church problems, but all the while he points to the greatness, the awesomeness, the splendor and the grandeur of Jesus Christ. He is the crucified, risen Lord. But to us, there is but one Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. We come to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul seems to be under tremendous stress, tremendous pressure. And yet the emphasis of the book is the sufficiency of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. He is our sufficiency. He is just what we need. He is all that we need. He is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 through 5. He is a God of grace. You yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet He for your sakes became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Now we come to the book of Galatians. Galatians is a book that emphasizes Jesus as our liberator. Our liberator. Galatians 5 verse 1, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Oh, Galatians reminds us that Jesus is our liberator. There should be nothing added to Jesus and His gospel because He is the sufficient person and His salvation through the gospel is sufficient as well. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Then we come to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians emphasizes the church of Christ. And when we look at the book of Ephesians, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Everything relates to Him. He is the focal point. He is at the center of all of God's Word. How we need to see Jesus. And He is the Savior of the body, the church. Ephesians 1, 21 through 23 and Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Now the book of Colossians. When we look at the book of Colossians, Jesus is preeminent. He is the preeminent one, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Fullness is a key expression in the book of Colossians. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and verse 9. And you are complete in Him, Colossians 2 and verse 10. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else but Jesus and His gospel. Then we come to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, we see Jesus as the coming one. This book is written to deal with a number of errors that have been taught by some at that particular time and with application even for today concerning the second coming of Jesus. As a matter of fact, each of the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians concludes with a reference to the second coming of our dear Lord. He is the coming one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. He's coming back to claim His own. In 2 Thessalonians, He is the glorified one. He is the glorified one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. He will come to be glorified in His saints. Oh, He is glorious, brilliant, radiant, and beautiful. That's the message of 2 Thessalonians. Then we come to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 5 speaks of Jesus as our mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, Himself man, Jesus Christ the Lord. Verse 6 of chapter 2 in 1 Timothy speaks of Jesus as a ransom who gave Himself to be a ransom for our sins. There's an old hymn, an old song of praise that beautifully says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, Jesus is our righteous judge. The Lord, the righteous judge, He's termed there. Oh, how confident, how assured we can be that the Lord is going to take care of things fairly and in His absolute perfection. He is just. He is merciful. He is righteous. When we come to the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Jesus is our great God and Savior. He is our great God and Savior. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, Titus 2 and verse 11, teaching us what? Well, positively, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But negatively, we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust because Jesus is our great God and Savior. Now we come to the book of Philemon. Philemon. The characters, the primary characters in the book of Philemon, Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus illustrate so very well God, Jesus, and man who's in sin, who longs to come to Jesus. The idea of the book is Jesus, our friend, Jesus, our advocate. Paul pleads the case of a runaway slave who has become a child of God and has encouraged him to go back to his Christian slave owner. How would he be received? How would he be treated? Paul is confident that this Christian man would receive the runaway slave not simply as a slave, but as a dear brother in Christ. Oh, the morality of Christianity. If the ethics of Jesus Christ and of true Christianity were truly practiced in this world, what a better world this would be. Then we come to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, a key word of the book of Hebrews is better, better. And Jesus is the best way God has ever spoken. He outspeaks the prophets. He is the best of the priests. His high priesthood endures. And Jesus is the greatest, the best, the better king, better priest, better prophet, better king, better sacrifice. He offered himself. Hebrews would stress the apostleship and high priesthood of Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. The apostle, one sent on a mission, having specific authority, sent from the Father. He is our high priest, the ultimate high priest. He is the one through whom we have access to God, the book of James. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, Jesus is the Lord of glory. We are not to hold the faith of Jesus with respect of persons. We are not to show sinful partiality and prejudice to others. That would be unbecoming of being servants of the King of glory. The book of James is really a treatise, a book about practical Christianity. Practical Christianity, how it involves our words, our actions, our thoughts. Faith without works is dead. James 2, verses 14 through 26. Then we come to the book of 1 Peter. And when you look at 1 Peter, Jesus is emphasized as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. 1 Peter 2:25, as the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, in this book, there is a reminder, as it were, of Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In 2 Peter, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, He's our Master. Savior, He is our rescuer, our deliverer. Then we come to the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's their message, John 14 and verse 6. And repeatedly we see how Jesus is the truth. In Him is life, and He is the only way. Then we come to the book of Jude, a short one-chapter book in the New Testament. Jesus is our keeper. He's the one who keeps us. If we keep ourselves in Him, He will keep us from stumbling. Jude verse 21 and Jude verse 24. And then we come to the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament. How can Jesus be seen in this powerful and vivid and picturesque book? Jesus is seen as the Lamb of God. Revelation 5, 8 through 14. Indeed, the expression of Jesus as Lamb occurs 28 times in the book of Revelation. The Lamb wins. And through Jesus, we win too. What a marvelous way of looking at the New Testament. It shines the spotlight on Jesus.